We're not. I don't want to diminish or downplay other people's concerns or fears, but I do. I was talking to the volunteer team this morning, and I feel like we have a responsibility as a church to kind of set a precedent. I don't think the church should ever run away in fear. I don't think the church's responsibility or the I don't think the church's response to crisis is to ever shut its doors. It really does. It kind of blows me away. And I understand everybody has their rationality and reasons as to why they do things. But I think about the church throughout history and what the church has been and what the church has stood for. And the church is not a, the church does not back down, right? And I think about the church today. Like, think about people who are facing real, and again, I am not trying to downplay or you know, diminish or criticize other people's, what they feel, their actual fears. But I think about the church in China, where it's illegal to go to church. Like, where it literally can cost you your life if you go to church. And the from all the things that I understand about the Chinese church, it is blossoming. It is blowing up. Like, people are coming to faith in Jesus because of the church and the fearlessness of the church. And here we are in America, just doing our American thing, right? Freaking out. Good Lord. Anyway, so this is what we're going to do. Our response to the madness, literally the madness, is we're just going to keep on doing exactly what we were doing before. And next week, we were going to do exactly what we were going to do next week. We are not going to capitulate to the stupidity that surrounds us. So we're continuing our series this week called March Madness. Now, here's what's so interesting about, you know, I mean, obviously the irony. So we planned this series months ago, and we had no idea they were going to cancel the entire basketball tournament. And I'm like, all right, well, in my mind, it's still happening, right? We're still going to play some basketball. And so they've played it for 50 years, so we'll just kind of draw on history and the things that have happened. So what today was supposed to be, if you look at kind of the schedule of the way that things were supposed to go with the March Madness tournament, today was supposed to be what is referred to as Selection Sunday. And I'm like, oh, yeah, all right, here we go. It's getting real. It's starting to formulate. It's kind of starting to shape up and make sense as to what it's going to be, you know, the tournament's going to be. So Selection Sunday, just to kind of give you some context, Selection Sunday is when there's a committee of 10 people that seed and select all of the teams that are going to be in the tournament. So we, like we said, you know, throughout 68 teams get selected to play in the March Madness tournament. And so there's a committee of 10 people that select and seed each of the tournaments. So they're seeded based on 1 through 16 and the regions that they're in, four regions, right? Everybody tracking-ish. Okay, so this whole selection process kind of got me thinking about what it means for us to be selected, right? I think that God has called us. I think that God has chosen us. I think that God has handpicked us for his purposes, for the life that he created us for. And so it kind of, for me, I saw some correlations as to what it means to be selected by a committee to be playing in this tournament and what it means to be chosen by God to be involved and living this life of adventure that he's called us to live. Did y'all see that, right? And so what we're going to do today is we're just going to look at kind of some of the distinctions and the correlations of this choosing process. And it's really interesting. We'll start with this one. But it's really interesting to me that, so again, this tournament, it's a committee of 10 people that decide who gets to play, that decides who is you know, going to be in this premier event. And kind of, so for me, the first distinction between the tournament and our lives as followers of Jesus is what we'll call him or them. And it's just cool because it rhymes, right? It's got to be true if it rhymes. You know that people are more susceptible to believe things that are not true even if just because they rhyme, right? Like, you can trick somebody, you can deceive somebody, just make sure that it rhymes and then you got them. Suckers. So him or them. And so the first interesting distinction to me about this is to play in the March Madness tournament, you have to be picked by people. To play in the role that God has called you to, this life of adventure, this life of madness, People have nothing to do with it. God is the one that calls you and not people. Now, that seems obvious if you've been around church, you've been in church, or you've even heard of church, right? You hear us talk about stuff like this. Well, it doesn't matter what people think. What matters is what God thinks. And what's so funny about that, not funny in a ha-ha sense, but funny in an irony sense, is that so many people say that, but so few people live that. Right? Was that a good time to gulp and gasp and swallow, right? So the tournament is determined by a selection of 10 people, right? 10 people who determine who's good enough, 10 people who determine who passes the eye test, who's qualified, who deserves to be in it. And it's kind of the way that the world works too, right? We have people in positions of power in our life and influence, and we allow them to decide if we're good enough. We allow them to decide if we're qualified to do what it is that we're doing. We listen to the voices of stupidity. Have you noticed that? Matter of fact, I'll kind of give you guys an insight into how this works. People who have all the things to say about your life, they rarely have anything of value to say about your life. All of the people who are recommending things for you to do, just investigate their life a little bit, and you'll find that they aren't doing any of the things that they're expecting you to do. So why should you do anything that they're expecting you to do? Right? So we posted on Facebook, God, listen, if it were possible, let this cup pass from, right? If it were possible to do ministry without social media, man, I'd be all about that life. But unfortunately, you got to meet people where they're at, right? And so everybody's up on social media, so we got to do the social media thing. And so we posted on social media, on Facebook, that, hey, you know, hey, we are having church. That, you know, the frightened world needs a fearless church. So we're like, cool, keep it simple. And we had, there were three different comments that were, let's call them less than tasteful. And one of them was like, devil, you know, whatever. And so think about this for a minute. Just think about this for a minute. So we know who we are. We know what we're called to do. And we're not going to be detracted by people who have opinions, right? But if we started to listen to the thoughts that other people had about us, if we started to follow the opinions and advice that other people give us, we would never do what it is that God has called us to do. And the same thing is true for you on an individual level, right? You know who you are. You know who you are. I am who you say I am, right? You say I am love. We sing all of these songs, and if it's getting into our soul, we know who we are until you start to listen to them, right? Until you start to internalize what other people think about you, the opinions of other people. Christianity is not a popularity contest. It is not a politically correctness contest. This is what my concern for the church in general, right, is the American church. I feel, and again, man, this is not, you know, I don't want to jump on a high horse and say, oh, we've got it all figured out, because we do not, right? There are a lot of great churches that probably do things way better than us, but generally speaking, what I think is that the church is so afraid to offend anyone. Christians, in general, are so afraid to offend anyone that we won't even do what it is that we're called to do. I don't know, like leave our doors open and have church, but oh, shots fired. Beep, 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 beep. Okay. So our selection is by God is the one who chose us. God is the one who called us. It has nothing to do with the opinions, the estimations of other people. Galatians chapter 1, verse 10 says this, and I love this because this, you want to talk about shots fired. This is more like, right? Am I now trying to win the approval of human beings or of God? Or am I trying to please people? This, you know, questions. Paul has asked, I love how when you find the writers in Scripture, Jesus used questions a lot of times, because then you actually have to think about your response, right? When you are asking questions and you get the answer in the form of a question, you really have to think about what your response to that is going to be. So Paul's like, am I trying to win the approval of human beings or of God? Or am I trying to please people? If I were still trying to please people, I would not be a servant of Christ. We live in a world desperate for the approval of other people. You look at the things that people do and the situations that people put themselves in and kind of, in fact, I was listening to a podcast the other day. If you're not familiar with a guy named Cal Newport, he's an author, wrote a couple of books, and the last one that he wrote is called Digital Minimalism, which is really fun to say. Minimum, right? And so the concept in the book is like, hey, man, some of us have literally gotten addicted to technology and to screens, and you need to figure out a way to extract some of the distractions in your life, and you do with that what you want to do with it, right? But one of the things that he talked about is how he's actually a computer, he's a professor at one of these, you know, really, really smart schools. Like, he's a professor at a smart school. He doesn't just go to a smart school, but he teaches at a smart school, right? Schools that they would laugh at my application, right? And so the dude is brilliant. And so he started talking about how social media has actually rewired our brains because of things called social approval indicators. And the social approval indicators, they just keep us coming back. So, you know, Facebook, for example, added the like button. It wasn't originally on there. There wasn't, you know, used to. Now, I don't know how old some of you guys are. Now, if you're old enough to remember what Facebook used to be like, then you know, but if you're not, you probably don't have Facebook. You have Snapchat. You know what I'm saying, right? And so for the older folks, you know, but for the younger folks, let me enlighten you. Let me inform you. So Facebook didn't originally have the like button. Somebody would post something, and you'd be like, cool, like, heart, thumbs up, right? And so they actually added the like button later on, and they found out that it boosted people's involvement and engagement significantly. Everybody kept coming back because they wanted to see how many likes they got. They wanted to see their social approval indicators. And so we actually get these little bitty hits of dopamine in our brain that make us feel good when we keep coming back. And people like me. People like what I think. People like what I know. They don't like what you think, and they don't like what you say. They just feel obligated because you're friends, and they feel like if you don't like it, then they're going to say something to you when they see you next time. Are we, am I, all right, y'all stop. So we have this problem with needing approval, but the problem is we're looking for approval in all the wrong places. And y'all, I'm not talking about people outside of church, because we're so quick to judge everybody else who's outside. Oh yeah, you know, the world and all its problems. Well, what did you think? Like, isn't that what God has called us to be a part of, the solution for? Right? The world is supposed to have problems. The world needs a savior, right? We're the ones who are supposed to have it all together, and we don't have it all together when it comes to seeking approval in all of the wrong places. The church has people in the church, not the church. Everybody wants to blame the church because they don't want to take any personal responsibility for their own problems. We, as the church, we struggle with this just as much as anybody else does. We're looking for approval in all of the wrong places. Jesus is the source of our approval. We should be more concerned with what he thinks about us than what other people think about us. And man, we'll amen that. We'll shout that down. We'll be like, preach, pastor, preach, whatever you want to say and do, right? But when we leave, like, what do we do? Does our life actually reflect that we're seeking the approval of God, or does it look like we're looking for the opinions and the popularity of people? Okay. I'll be nice, right? So we need to be reminded from time to time that it's God that we want to please, that it's God that matters, his opinion matters, his thoughts about us matter, and what other people think, we should care, we should be concerned, we shouldn't be dismissive, we shouldn't be rude, but it's absolutely secondary and not even a close second. Not even a close second. It's secondary. We care, but what God thinks about us is the absolute most important thing about us, right? So not him, I'm sorry, not you have to choose between him and them, and I would suggest you choose him. So that's the first one. The next distinction or correlation is what we're going to call not vice versa. I think sometimes when it comes to being chosen by God, that we think, well, you know, I chose God. I chose to follow him. I chose to be, you know, who it is that he called me to be. I chose God. And what I think is that we are absolutely foolish if we think that we chose God. And the truth is that God has chosen us, and we had a little to do with it. We have a response to the choosing, but it's God who initiates, or it's not sincere. It's not what I find, or what my opinion of the situation is that when people say they choose God, that means their life sucks. They're in these really dark or difficult circumstances, and then, oh, I choose God because I'm broke. I choose God because I'm hurting. I choose God because of this, that, or the other. And then when your situation changes, then you don't choose God anymore, right? So that's not the way this whole thing works. That's not how any of this works, right? So God chooses us, or it's not sincere. And so John chapter 15, verse 16, Jesus said this, I wonder what he meant. You did not choose me, but I chose you. That was a joke, right? But you guys didn't follow my joke. I wonder if he could be any more clear. Let me try that again, right? You did not choose me, but I chose you, and I appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit. Fruit, and I love, he kind of makes this emphatic distinction here, right? Fruit that will last. When we choose God based on, you know, oh, my circumstance is this or that, the fruit doesn't last. But when God chooses us and we respond to that choosing, then we're going to bear fruit that will last. It is a sustainable decision, right? And so you're going to bear fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. And then he just throws this in verse 17. This is my command, love each other. Isn't that awesome? I just love the way that Jesus talks. I love the way that he thinks about things and sees things and communicates things. He said, hey, I chose you. You didn't choose me, right? I loved you even when you were absolutely unlovable. Nobody would pick you. You were the kid on the basketball court that nobody wanted. And I picked you. I chose you. I love you. I see value in you that nobody else sees. I see potential in you that nobody else can fathom. I know who you are, and I picked you. I chose you. And here's what's so great about this. This is what I think sometimes we fail to remember, or however we end up in a situation where we forget. God choosing you has absolutely nothing to do with you. It has everything to do with his love for us. His choosing us is based on grace. Now, I know that we like to think that we are in control. Is there anybody else that, man, you like control? Not saying that you're always in control, but you like to be in control. Man, if I could, I would control every one of y'all. Can I be honest? I would control, y'all would walk how I wanted you to walk, drive, bless God, how I wanted you to drive, work how I wanted you to work, talk to me how I wanted you to talk to me, right? I want to be in control, but I am not. I am absolutely not. I can't even control my children. Like, I thought, all right, he ain't in here. I thought one of them wasn't going to make it to church this morning. I'm like, man, we gonna have a funeral before we go to church. Y'all don't understand this struggle. Y'all don't understand the struggle. So here I am. This is the things that happen in my mind as I'm going to church. I'm like, I got to go to church and talk about the love of Jesus, the peace of God that passes all understanding, and I just about killed one of my kids. Y'all don't know nothing about that, right? Golly. Oh, this is good. This is fitting to get real. Speaking of children, this is a backup iPad. That's dead. So my other iPad, my primary iPad, my child took it home from church where it belongs on Wednesday night. And guess what he did not do? He didn't bring it back. So we're fitting to fly without notes. Y'all good with that? It's fitting to get real. Huh? Nah, we're just going to go with it. It's good. So what point are we on? All right. Go back to the second point. Watch this. Huh? Oh, yeah, not vice versa. So I think control. Here we go. We love to be in control. I love to be in control. But here's the thing. When God chose us, God's deciding to choose us to be a part of this life that he's created for us. Like last week we talked about John 10. It says, I have made for you, I've called you into, I've created you for this life, an abundant life. And if you look at the way that phrase translates, it's like I have called you into real life. Real life, not this shallow life that so many people seem to be comfortable with, not this life that is not sincere, that's only about yourself, that's not seeking to help others and not with purpose and intentionality that God has created us for. Some people can have that. You want to do that, you do that, you will get to the end of your life and you will feel absolutely wasted and miserable. Because your life was for nothing, right? But let's get to the end of our lives and be tired. Let's get to the end of our lives and be wore out from the fight, fighting the good fight of faith that God has called us to live. And this is the adventure that he has chosen us for. But he didn't leave it up to us, right? It's not about grace, because We love to lean into grace when it's advantageous for us, but we also have to remember that if it wasn't for grace, let me back that up. Let me clarify a little more clearly. Clarify more clearly, right? Isn't that what clarifying is? Let me clarify. So grace is amazing, right? We love the fact that grace enables us to do things that we could not do on our own. So he chose us based on grace because we didn't deserve it. But the other side of that is that if it wasn't for grace, we could be disqualified. The things that we do, the problems that we've had in our life, the sins that we've struggled with, the past and the shame could disqualify us from being chosen by God if it wasn't for grace. So thank God you're not in control. Thank God for grace. Right? Okay, good. So it's not vice versa. It's not, you know, well, God chose me and I chose him. No, he chose you. If you have ever felt that pull, that tug on your heart, y'all know what I'm talking about? And man, mine wasn't like a tug. It was like a ripping. It was your soul is empty and you are broken and desperate and something needs to change, right? And so if you've ever felt the pull or the tug or the rip or the emptiness and know that there's so much more for you, if you've ever felt that the sense that God has something in store for you other than just, you know, going through life and going through the emotions and not really doing anything significant with your life, if you've ever felt that, that means you have been chosen by God. If you're here, I think that indicates that God has chosen you for something significant. God has chosen you for a life of meaning and purpose, right? So it's not vice versa. It's that God chose us. We didn't choose him. He chose us, and that's a good thing. So the third point, this kind of the next logical sequence here is if you have been chosen for what? Because I think sometimes we get a little confused on what exactly it is that we're called to do, what it is that we're chosen for. And so when it comes to being a follower of Jesus, you could go 1,000 different directions with this, but we're going to narrow it down to just a couple. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, it says this. Let's all look at the screens. Why not, right? And I love this. It says, but you are a chosen people. You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may. Right? Here's who you are. Here's what I've chosen you based on, right? I've chosen you for this, but the choosing of you for this has a response, right? The choosing, what I have chosen you for, here's what you need to do. It's like, so that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. And so here's what, one of the translations of this is that you are a peculiar people. Peculiar, different, odd, weird, right? Sometimes we do things that not everybody else is doing. Sometimes we operate on a different standard or we have a different mode of operating than everybody else. You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. You are God's special possession, right? Special possession so that you may praise his glorious name, right? So here's kind of what I see in this. The way that I see this breakdown for us is that our lives, what we have been called to, what we have been chosen for, is a life of worship. Shelley was the only one that said amen, right? She does that. She likes worship. But see, that's our fault for having a misunderstanding of what worship is. If you think that worship is music, you're kind of missing the point. Our entire lives our worship. The way that you treat your wife when nobody else is around is worship. Stop amening, right? I'm like, that Shelley always throws shade at me somehow. I'm kidding. Like the things, everything that we do, everything about our lives, the things seen and the things unseen, right? The things that we do when we're around people and the things that we do alone, the thoughts that we have, the words that we speak, the way that we carry ourselves, the way that we interact with people, the way that we love people, all of this is worship. All of it's worship. Now, a small expression of worship is singing, right, and music. And we have reduced worship just to singing and music, but man, that is such a small part of it. So one of the things that we have been chosen for is worship. Like it says in Romans chapter 12, it's like your life is a living sacrifice. This is your worship to God. And so when we start to view our lives as worship, we start to understand what it is that we have been chosen for. We have been chosen to live a life that honors God, that testifies to the goodness of God to everyone that we encounter. Right? Everybody that we come across, every conversation that we have, it says that it should be seasoned with grace, like salt, right? If you're from the South, you don't eat food without some salt on it. Like, I don't even have to taste it. I just know it needs more salt. Y'all know what I'm talking? Like, I do not even taste before I put salt on my food. I just like, that needs more salt. I don't care how much it already had. It needs more salt. And our lives need to be seasoned with grace like we season our food with salt, right? But man, just put a little bit more on it. And these are the things that God has called us to. These are the things that God has chosen us for, is to live a life that looks like that, that interacts with other people like that, that points people to him through our worship, right? Now, if you want to go around and sing all the time, you can do that by all means. We will make fun of you. It's okay. Man, and it's not even fair because I love to sing. I just ain't no good at it, right? Amen. So that's the first. All right. No, I'm just kidding. No, I know what you meant. I know what you meant. I'm messing with you. It was just a good opportunity. He was like, yeah, bro, you can't sing. Right? So God has chosen us for worship, but I think that he's also chosen us. I think when you look at Scripture, man, it uses the expression chosen a bunch, a whole lot. But another one of the things that I thought was worth pointing out is that God has chosen us for eternity. God has chosen us. Now, if you're going to choose somebody, like, we won't even commit to people for 6 months, right? If I asked you, I said, hey, I need you to commit to the church for the next 5 years. Let's be honest. Now, most of y'all will be like, yeah, I'll do that, and you're going to be gone in 6 months. Statistically, not this church, other churches, right? People just do not commit to each other. And we're terrified of commitment because we think, you know, the situations may change, circumstances, whatever the case may be. But God has chosen us not just for, you know, the next 6 months, the next 5 years, the next 10 years, the next 100 years, the next 1,000 years. God has chosen us for eternity. When you do that, the statement that you are making is that I really, really love you. In spite of anything and everything that you may bring, I love you and I've chosen you for eternity. And so in Matthew chapter 24, it's on my iPad and it's not on screens, which is really unfortunate. But Matthew chapter 24, Jesus said this, and I'll paraphrase. He said that, hey, I'm going to take my chosen ones. There's going to be the sounding of a trumpet, right? If you kind of look at some of the end times prophecies and all of these things, it says that the trumpet will be sounded, and my chosen ones, I will gather from the four winds of the earth, the four corners of the earth. And essentially what Jesus is saying, then we can kind of do some logical deduction, is that he's prepared a place for us. He's got a place for us to go. Because of what he did for us, we get to spend eternity with him. He chose us for eternity. Now, that's great news, right? We love the thought of eternity, especially when we consider our mortality, that we're all going to pass away, we're all going to die, and we want to know what happens afterwards. But I think that the larger picture here is that, man, God really must love us if he's committing to us for the rest of eternity, right? Most people, let's be honest, you go to weddings, y'all, I'm so cynical. Can we be honest? Now, there are some weddings that I have done, and I'm like, man, what an honor. How cool is this? I get to be a part of this special couple's day and you know, the life that they're creating together. And there are other weddings, and they're like, till death do us part. And I'm like, fat chance. Can we be honest? Right? I'm like, tell me again why y'all are getting married. Because I ain't seeing it, right? And then, sure enough, I mean, like, just, you guys know what I'm saying. Statistically, these things are, it's a coin flip, right? So that's the level of commitment that we tend to have from a human perspective. God is committed to us for eternity. That's awesome. I love that. So that's what we're chosen for. We're chosen for worship. We're chosen for eternity. And the last point is this, picked out. Let's talk about being picked out. Again, I think the illustration that we used, how many of y'all, now, I'm one of the unfortunate souls that I was one of the youngest people in my class. So I have a summer birthday, graduated when I was 17 years old, right? Anybody, y'all know that struggle? Trash. Do not start your children at school when they're 4 years old. Good Lord. These are my struggles. This is my life, right? So I was one of the youngest in my class. And on top of that, coincidentally, conveniently, I was also a late bloomer. Garbage. Trash, right? So I was just always a little bit smaller. I wish I was a ball, but I wasn't, right? Just always just a little bit smaller. Had to work really, really hard just to even have an opportunity. And it was so frustrating because, you know, everybody was just bigger. And then until you get older, and I'm like, man, you twerp, right? I've developed. So going back to this whole picking out thing, y'all know you've been in a situation, because I think we all have some strengths and some weaknesses. So you've probably been in a situation where you didn't get picked, or you got picked, but you were the last pick. So really, you didn't feel like you got picked out. You feel like you got picked on. I'm like, don't even pick. I'm out. I'm leaving. Y'all need 10? Sorry, you play with 9. Pick me last. Take that, sucker. So sometimes we feel like we're supposed to be picked out, but we kind of feel like we're being picked on. Right? We feel like life ain't doing for us what life should be doing. We feel like, and here's what's really frustrating about life sometimes, especially as Jesus followers, right? One of the things that can be really frustrating, you're doing all the right things. Like, man, you're praying. You're reading your Bible. You want to know God more. You're trying to live a life. You're not perfect. You never admit it to be, which is probably more perfect than people who think they're perfect. And so you're doing all of the right things, and things still aren't going right for you. That's frustrating. You feel like that because you've been called out, God has chosen you, and you're doing all the right things, then everything should go your way. But that's not how this thing works, right? That's not what we're promised. God never promised us an easy life, a safe life, a comfortable life, but he did promise to be with us through whatever it is that we go through. So there are seasons that even though you're picked out, you feel picked on. And that's hard, right? Can we just be honest? It's really frustrating. You feel like, you know, everybody, I got you first. And I'll take the tall one, because the tall ones always get picked for basketball, right? Could be the most unathletic, uncoordinated person you have ever met, but he can get a rebound, right? Oh, I'll pick him, and I'll take that one. And you're just sitting there waiting to be picked, waiting for your moment, waiting for your season, right? And how about that one? Not that dude, right? And you're the last one out here. And you feel like everybody else is making progress in their life. You feel like everybody else is where they're supposed to be. Everybody else is seeing things come together for them. Everybody else is living their best life now. Everybody else is walking in the favor of God. And you're doing all the right things, and it just doesn't seem like it's happening for you. It's okay. Because here's what we know, right? When you're actually picked, when you're chosen, it's interesting that scholars think that is, in many cases, a better choice of words than the word chosen. Like, God picked you. Y'all know we pick things that matter to us. We pick things that have value to us. We pick things that we like. We pick out, this is a terrible illustration, but we pick out shoes because we love them. Right? They make us feel a certain type of way. And so we pick things that we like, we pick things that we enjoy, and we pick things that we see value in. And so God has picked us out, even when you feel like you're picked on. So when you start to understand, you operate from a place in your life where you know you're picked out regardless of what your situation is and your circumstances are, then you're going to see that everything that you go through doesn't matter if you feel like it's, you know, it's not working for your good, it's not something that you would choose or advantageous to you, you're still picked out. It doesn't distract, it doesn't detract from the fact that you're picked out. Like, God has chosen you, and your circumstances don't necessarily have to reflect that. Now, what you'll find is that people who are mature embrace that. People who are petty do not. Right? You petty. You're your daddy's child, right? Petty. And we love, as church folk, we love to say, oh, yeah, you know, everybody needs to figure this out. And we ain't, I mean, come on, man, half the time we don't have it figured out. Half the time when things don't go our way, oh, God, why? God, why would you do this? Why would you allow this? Why would you let me go through this? And we get mad at God, and we get upset with God because we feel like we're being picked on. And what we have to lean into, what we have to run to, is that we are picked out. handpicked. He selected us for a life with him. He loves us. We know that Romans chapter 8, verse 28, if you've been in church or around church, you know it, you've heard it. All things. Now, why would it say all things unless it means all things? Why wouldn't, in this instance, Paul say, well, only the good things work together for your good, because good equals good? But he said that all things. And so that even means that seasons where you feel like you're being isolated or you feel like you're being picked on, they're actually working together for your good. Who are called, chosen, selected, picked according to his purposes? You see what's going on here? You see how this works? But we never get to this place in our life unless we start to operate from a place of understanding that God has chosen us. God has picked us out. And our circumstances don't determine whether or not God has chosen us. God choosing us then determines our response to our circumstances. Amen? So this is what we're going to do. We're just going to pray, right? We're going to pray, but not one of those simple, safe church prayers. We're going to pray that God will wreck us in our understanding, because I fear that so many people are operating from this place of, well, my situation or my circumstances, so I just run to God in times of trouble, right? We do these drive-by approaches to our relationship with God. It's only when things are bad or only when things are difficult that we choose him. And I think we need a reshift, a change in our framework of our understanding of who God is. Like, we don't choose him, he chose us. And he will always choose us. And our response to that is what makes the difference in our lives. So I want to pray this morning. Man, if you're here and you've never fully embraced the plan, the life, the choosing that God has for you, and today is your day, why would you wait any longer? You know what you're doing? You're sitting on the court all by yourself. Everybody else has been selected. You feel like, and what is God doing with my life? He picked you. Join the team, right? He picked you. Get involved. Play the game. Live the life of adventure that God has created us for, the life of intentionality that he has called us to, this real and abundant life that Jesus made available to us. Amen. Jesus, thank you so much. Jesus, thank you that you weren't safe, that you weren't politically correct, that you said what needed to be said. You were tactful, you were tasteful, you were loving, but you were truthful. And God, we're so thankful for that. So thankful for the example that you set and the precedent that you created for us as your followers and as the church. God, I pray for every person in the room this morning. God, that we would just have either a new understanding or a good reminder that you chose us. It's not that we chose you. God, our shoulders aren't broad enough to carry that kind of weight. Our hands aren't strong enough to hold on to the control. But yours are. God, we can lean into you. We can trust you. We can allow you to have control over our lives because you chose us. You chose us because you love us. You chose us because you see value in us. You chose us because we're yours. We're created by you. We are the apple of your eye, God, your special possession. Thank you so much for choosing us. God, and if there's anybody here today that hasn't responded to your choosing, God, that you've called them, that you're stirring their heart, God, maybe even being here today, it kind of gives them an indication that you're trying to do something in their life that's out of the ordinary. God, I pray that they would respond to that call, that they would answer the choosing, that they would join the team. If that's you and you're here, the way that we do this, we just respond in faith to what it is that God is doing in our lives. Jesus, It says that if you believe in him, that you believe that God has raised him from the dead, and you confess with your mouth that he is Lord, you will be saved. It says all who call on the name of the Lord will be saved. So whatever that looks like for you, call on his name. Call out to him. Ask him to be in control of your life, and thank him for choosing you in spite of everything that you've gone through, in spite of everything that you've done. Thank God for his grace. Jesus, God, I pray that you would give us light like never before, that you would make us beacons of hope in the world that we live in the craziness and the madness and in the turmoil, that we would follow you fearlessly, carefully, that you would give us wisdom as to how to respond to the circumstances around us, the people we encounter. Most importantly, that we would just respond to what it is that we have been chosen for, and that is to worship you. You've called us out of darkness into the marvelous light. Thank you for that. And it's in Jesus' incredible name we pray. And everybody said, amen.
Thanks so much for joining us for the Motion Church podcast today. If you'd like more information about our church, visit motionchurch.com. If you want to contribute financially to what God is doing here at Motion Church, you can do that by visiting motionchurch.com/giving. Thanks again for joining us. We hope you enjoyed today's message.